the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now, though, we are turning our attention to the big game tonight. It is Leinster against Munster in the Pro 14. Alan Quinlan, a very good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Very well. Let's get straight into this. So there's been a few words from Leo Cullen yesterday in his pre-match press conference talking about the Roman Salanoa situation, the prof who joined Munster. He won't be involved this weekend. But Cullen essentially suggested that he reneged on a verbal agreement with Leinster. It is very rare that we see shots fired from Leo Cullen, but shots were certainly fired yesterday.
Yeah, they were. He's not happy, I suppose. He's with Tadhg Furlong being injured and probably the way and the manner in which that played out, you know, he's clearly said it was a little bit surprising that it came out yesterday, but I suppose he was asked about Kieran Parker signing him and he's not happy. And it's probably the first time we've heard Leo Cullen speak about his frustration about some of Leinster players moving to other provinces. And certainly this one irked him a little bit. I think it was probably the frustration of losing Tom Clarkson to Connacht as well. So it's frustrating for them. Or Jack Ainger, sorry, apologies. Tom Clarkson is still with him. Jack Ainger leaving as well. And it's part and parcel of the business, but he didn't sound too pleased with it. And I can understand a little bit his frustration, but that's the nature of the game, really, that you know, players move on, and Roman Salanoa obviously changed his mind and wanted to go to Munster.
Yeah, it's on the record, Quinny, that you played a cameo, I think is how it's been phrased, in bringing this guy over. So you have some knowledge of it and of him, obviously, and all that sort of stuff should be said. You don't see Leo Cullen that angry that often. I can't really remember, sort of, and as you say, he was asked about it, but he could have obviously dealt a straight bat here. And the thing he seemed to focus in on is that Roman Salanoa gave him his word and then went against his word, and it's hugely upsetting to him. And people always talk about Leinster and the vast reserves that they have and the conveyor belt of talent and how they're feeding other teams. You only had to look at the Ulster game last weekend to see the manifestation of that. But this is clearly something that's very irked him very much, and something, in your experience, that is unusual or not?
It is unusual. I think I've seen maybe in my time players, you know, agree contracts and agree to extend, and you know, their heads are turned by another offer or another move, or they reflect on it a bit. And I think it's a little bit unfair on the player himself that he seems now like that his word isn't his bond. And he's been, you know, he came into the country a few years ago not knowing anybody, struggling with a whole new culture, got an opportunity by the IRFU, and effectively he was an IRFU player who was put into the Leinster Academy to monitor his development and hope that in a couple of years' time that he would become, if there was potential there, that he would become available to Ireland. That was the whole purpose of bringing the player over. He became available through different contexts in Hawaii, and he was playing rugby in America. So he's a young kid, and I think it kind of looks bad on him, but that's a little bit unfair, I think. He probably was settled into the Leinster setup living in Dublin, and you know, there's no surprise or no secret that Connacht wanted to get him, Munster wanted to get him, and they probably put their best foot forward and changed his mind, I think. Working the opportunity to work with Graham Rowntree in Munster was probably one that probably swung it a little bit. And ultimately, I can fully understand where Leo Cullen is coming from. And if I was Leo Cullen, I'd be frustrated and upset by it as well. But given the fact that Jack Ainger went to Connacht as well, and it's probably more the frustration is the timing of that they allowed him to leave because they thought they were keeping Roman. And then Roman, you know, decided that he was going to go to Munster. So it's understandable, but that's just the nature of the business. And I've seen a couple of times where fellas, as I said, have agreed to stay or sign it. And fortunately or unfortunately, no deal is done until a player puts his name to the signature, really. And but look, it's something that'll probably crop up again. And, you know, as you say, Leo Cullen is not normally normally like that and doesn't really talk about these things much, but I can understand his frustration.
Let's talk about the game tonight, Alan. Ronan O'Gara in the Irish Examiner this morning says that he'd love to hear what the current Munster lads say privately about tradition and carrying the mantle of previous teams. You can be certain they are shit sick of having the previous generation stirred into every debate and conversation, and they are right. Do you feel that, Alan, that your generation has made this current generation a little bit sick, that they've constantly got to listen to you harping on about your success and that they can't match it themselves?
It's the same in any sport. I think when you look at the success that Manchester United had for such a long period, and obviously we didn't win the same amount of trophies the previous Munster side that I played on, but we were knocking on the door year after year, and each year before Europe we were put down as probably potential winners for probably 8-10 years, and we were thereabouts for a long, long time. And it's just the nature of the business, again, as I said, that that's a pressure. And I've often said this over the years, it's a little bit unfair that they've probably had to carry that burden and weight of previous success, but it is what it is. It's there, and you'll always get comparisons to previous teams who've had success, and there's probably a frustration amongst the players, the coaching staff, Munster fans, that, you know, Munster haven't won a trophy since 2011, and probably at the end of that period, around that time, you wouldn't have said that, well, Munster won't win anything for another 8 or 9 years. And that's just the way it is. And that's the kind of pressure and expectations there. And I'm sure the players are sick of listening to it, and they want to try and win themselves. And, you know, they're certainly trying to close that gap. They've come up against the Leinster side, who have been through a very, very successful period. You go back to 2015-16, I think, when no Irish province made the knockout stages, and there was a bit of doom and gloom about the Irish provinces going forward in Europe, given the money that was in France and some of the English clubs. And Leinster have just, they turned, flipped that perception upside down, and with all their homegrown players and the talent they've produced, they've gone on to have fantastic success, and looks like they'll, you know, on paper, and they'll win Pro 14 and Europe again this year. So that's probably frustrating as well, because your biggest rivals have massive success and you're not winning. So there is pressure, and there is they've got to live and deal with that. The previous Munster side success and their biggest rival's success at the moment. And nobody can do anything about that, only themselves and the organisation, I think. And that's not going to change until they win a trophy.
Quinny, I should say, obviously, and I would say that we're all fed up listening to how great that Munster side was, including yourself.
I'm not, Adrian.
I wonder, we were talking about earlier on, and like the personality, the culture, the mindset of Munster rugby is stand up and fight, right? And like, how many, never mind about rugby teams, but sports teams globally have ever lived up to the mindset that existed or the culture that existed in that Munster team? Like, it's quite natural that this current crop aren't at that level, given that so few teams in global sport have ever been.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's frustrating when you and it's mind-boggling at times when you talk about what's the culture and what's the. I think every modern sports team at any level or any sport want to try and create a winning culture, create a high standard in performance and in training. The stuff that happens off the field, that there's an excellence there around nutrition, fitness, facilities, all that kind of stuff. You look at any of the, even the Premiership sides in England, we've seen so many of them develop their training facilities in the last number of years. And when you have good training facilities, when you have good support, good coaches, you need talent with that as well. And then you start winning. You start producing it, of course.
That team was there was obviously talent there, but it wasn't known for being like a talented team. It was known for the like stand up and fight. So how would you describe, if I can word it this way, like if that culture or that team or that mindset was stand up and fight, right? Like how would you describe succinctly the personality of the current Munster crop?
Different. I think we certainly had in my time, we had certainly time to build a winning mentality and get the right characters in the team. You want characters in the team. You hear all coaches talk about that. Guys who are willing to, you know, toughness, a hardness. Guys who are willing to not take a backward step. Who are confrontational, who are outspoken, who have good leadership qualities. And, you know, you talk about that a lot, but ultimately you look at the quality of the player. You need, I think the fundamentals for any sports person and any kid or any at any age grade, you want that bit of fight in them. I think if you have that natural kind of desire and fight, that you don't have to try and switch on or find, that it comes kind of naturally. Well, that's a great trait to have, because you now have the battling qualities that you need, and then you put the talent on top of that and the quality and good players. You know, you talk about why teams don't win and why other teams win all the time. Sometimes it's down to resources and quality, you know, the availability of that quality. But, you know, and sometimes teams just get a good crop of players who are winners, are leaders, and you can mix and match and you get a little bit of time to develop characters. Once you've been trying to do that, I think there's a lot of leadership in that Leinster side, because they're probably the template that a lot of teams look at. You know, big leaders. And we always had a goal of when I played with Munster, one of our goals at the start of the year was to get as many of the Munster players onto the Irish team. So to do that, you don't get someone onto the Irish team who is just really good character, good fight. He needs to be a good player as well. Needs to perform week after week. And I think that's what Leinster have. So when you're trying to create a culture of winning, you need quality players to do that. But you also, and sometimes you have loads of talent and you lack the desire and the passion and the commitment and the real fight that you need. And then you fall down on that. So fundamentally, yeah. I think first and foremost, having that fight and desire, there's a lot of that in these Munster players. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't, I wouldn't question their character. I probably did in a number of years ago when I criticised them in when they lost against Stade Francais in Europe, and it was on the back of, you know, going out losing for probably 2 or 3 years in Europe, and I just thought that there was a lack of character and real passion and desire for that jersey. When I put on the jersey, I always felt an expectation and a weight from previous generations that when you put on a Munster jersey, and this is from my own personal experience, you've got to fight, you've got to battle, you've got to give it your all, you've got to empty the tank. And we've played, there's a contrast there between 06 and 08 with us. And we got better at that stuff, where we pushed each other and we became harder as a group. And ultimately that wins you those little battles, particularly in a physical contest. And in 06, we probably had a less talented team than in 08. But the 06 team were, there was just a drive and an energy and an intensity about them. I remember being in the dressing room at halftime in that game against Biarritz and just seeing the real want and the desire in players' faces. Okay, it's a European final. Everybody wants to win the final. But there was a calmness kind of came over me thinking, this is the ultimate. This is where you want to be as a sports person. It isn't about all this talent and winning wonderfully. It's about just being in a collective group that have incredible drive, desire, and fight for each other. And you know, they're really important ingredients for teams that win. 08, we probably had way more talent because you had Tupoki, Maffey, Howlett, who can do, you know, incredible things. But they had that fight. Like Dougie Howlett was someone that's, you know, incredibly talented, scores tries all the time. But a guy who just turned up to training week after week, day after day, with a desire and a work ethic and a hardness about him that you love to play with. So creating that and developing that takes a little bit of time, and people are probably running out of patience in Munster, but I wouldn't criticise the current group because they do have a lot of character and they do have a drive and desire. But, you know, at times they've lacked that quality, that finishing product that, you know, you have the drive, desire and all that stuff, but then you need that extra little bit of quality and top-class international players who deliver on the big stage.
How did they go about winning the game tonight, Alan?
Well, you know, some of the traits and attributes I'm talking about there, they've got to bring that. They will have probably an edge and an anger about them. But then they've got to be shrewd in the way they play, in the right areas. You know, they were very effective in the breakdown the last day. You know, Leinster will expect them to come at them again. That doesn't mean that Leinster are going to repel that, that it's a guarantee. And the way you go after that situation is you do it again. And if once you get a penalty or two early on, or they start slowing Leinster's ball down, well, then that might create a little bit of doubt and stop Leinster's flow. The challenge for Leinster is their ball presentation, the way they carry. I'm sure they've worked a lot on that. And the aerial battle is going to be key as well. I think Munster profited a lot from that in the last day. I'm sure Jordan Larmour is going to be really, really determined to make sure that he wins those high balls. We're going to see Munster kick the ball and put him under pressure again. And, you know, Munster, how do they go? How do they win it? Well, they've probably got to get an 8 or 9, 9.5 out of 10 performance and push Leinster back to a 6 or 7 performance to win the game, which is easier said than done. But the only way and only chance you have against Leinster is you've got to be in their face. And you've got to play sensible rugby. And the biggest strength Leinster have, in my opinion, is they have a real calmness about their performance. When even though sometimes they may not have a lot of possession, they just know when to strike. And when they get into that attacking zone, they're accurate. And you just feel, and this is probably one of the things that was said about the Munster teams that I played in. You just felt sometimes when I played, and even we felt it as players when we got into the attacking zones, you just felt the opposition knew what was coming. They knew that we were not leaving here without a score. And Leinster have that. So, you know, Munster have got to be really resilient in those areas when Leinster get into their 22, that they don't give up easy opportunities. And maybe they force a big turnover or come up with a big play. But, you know, they have a lot of good players. I think the concern is probably in the front five area. Leinster probably have that little bit more experience and quality there. And that's the challenge for Lachman and Archer and Scannell to deliver. I think Archer and Scannell probably dropped the ball a few times the last day in the first game. So they've got to make carries and have good positive involvements. And so that's a long-winded answer. But I think, you know, if I was to sum it up, I'd say they've got to be really physical, get in Leinster's faces, and then take their opportunities. If they get chances, they've got to execute. And, you know, put a little bit of doubt in the opposition. When you put doubt in the opposition when you do that, but they just can't afford Leinster to have this 10 or 15 minute period where they just change gears, which they're so good at doing.
So,
and if they could win those moments and take away a little bit of sting out of the game and control the tempo a little bit better, well, they have a good chance.
So a Leinster Ulster final is what I'm hearing here. I presume you're.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's. Someone said to me the other day, Munster can't keep losing to Leinster, can they? Well, they can, because Leinster are so good. But one of the days, you know, they're going to get. I just don't know if it's tonight. I feel that they certainly have a great chance. I think D'Alinda gives them a great opportunity. JJ Hanran has to got to play really well at 10 and make good decisions and make positive decisions under pressure. But you just suspect that it's going to be the same old story, that Leinster are just going to have that extra gear at times to get over the line.
And also to get the job done?
I think that's more difficult. It's a very difficult situation. I think Edinburgh are going to win that game. Ulster's form the last two weeks would concern me. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a Munster-Ulster final. I'm sure the Leinster fans that are watching this won't agree, but it'll probably be a Leinster-Edinburgh final, I think.
Alan Quinlan, great stuff. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy the weekend.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Quinny.
Alan Quinlan.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.